One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the podcast that's not too interesting for your little ears and it's not boring. So here we are.
Your little ears.
I thought I'd add that in. How are we today, gents? I'm Martin, and with me is Alex.
We're just going to carry on like that was normal.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay,
you all
right?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, with my average-sized ears.
You've got fairly small ears, actually.
Yeah, they are. I'm a bit uncomfortable with how small
my ears. Don't feel insecure about how abnormally small your ears are, Alex.
You better have smaller ears than bigger ears. Mine are quite big ears.
Look, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you've got quite ears. I've got quite small
average
ears.
Kind of ears. Yeah. How are you, Robin?
You just brought up some stuff.
Thank you, Martin. I am well. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Good.
Pleased to be here with you guys in the still fairly new studio.
Very new.
So I think we're going to go through some things that we've learned this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then some weird news stories.
As always.
As always. And then we'll have our question of the week. And then I think we'll finish up with a quiz.
Very nice.
Yes, yeah, which I've prepared for you.
Thank you, Martin.
It's a kind of a generally knowledge.
I desperately need knowledge. To win one quiz.
You do need to win a quiz.
You'll win this one. I have a good feeling for you about this one.
No, don't say that. Don't stop saying that. You're trying to psych me out. I know what you're like.
Yeah. I'm not doing anything.
And if you let me win, I will know. I will.
Believe me, it's impossible for me to let someone else win.
Yeah, that competitive spirit's there.
Okay, I just lose. It's just the way it goes.
You have won every single quiz and you know it. Your humbleness is really annoying.
It's a genuine loss.
So what have you learned this week, Robin?
What have I learned this week? So I happened upon a story about the origins of the word posh.
Oh, okay.
You know the word posh? Yeah. You ever heard this story? That it's actually an acronym.
Is it?
Yeah. So it's true, definitely 100% true, that no one knows exactly where the word comes from. It originated sometime around the year 1900.
Oh, not even that old. Not really.
Yeah, exactly. I thought it was like an old thing, but no, apparently. But there's this story that it's an acronym for cruise ships going from Britain to India. You would want to be in the best cabins. And the best cabins were the ones facing...
port.
Exactly. The ones that were on the shaded side of the ship. Mm. Because when you're going through those seas, it's very hot. The sun's beating down.
Oh, yeah.
And the cabin stays really hot at night when you get to the Indian Ocean. So what you want to do is be on the port side on the journey out and the starboard side
home.
On the journey home. So
nice.
Apparently,
posh out.
Yeah.
Port out, starboard home.
Exactly. So they would charge more for these desirable cabins. So only the well-off people could afford them. So the posh cabin passengers were posh people. That's the story behind this thing. And I interested in that the other day.
Oh,
however,
okay.
I did look it up.
And it might be crap.
And the Merriam-Webster Dictionary says there's no evidence whatsoever to support this story. Particularly because the story is that it's from cruisers going from Britain to India.
Mm.
But the earliest example of this story talks about it being an American cruise line going across the Pacific Ocean.
And that'd be the wrong way.
The other way.
Be going the other way, yeah.
So you've once again brought fake news into our podcast.
Not intentionally.
Every week.
Not intentionally.
Every single week.
Spreads this manure over our podcast.
Nice.
So yeah, that's why I learned this week, that there's a mystery about the word posh.
But it might be true, it might not.
Yeah.
We're not sure.
Yeah, who knows?
It's a good word, though. It's a good word.
It's
posh.
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 P-O-S-H. Mm. Posh. Nice. What have you learned this week?
Well, I also have a kind of language and where it comes from fact that I learned this week. Have you ever heard of crab mentality?
No.
So crab mentality is basically the line of thinking, if I can't have it, you can't have it. You know,
it's very negative.
Very negative thing of
bitter bastards.
Humans trying to pull each other down, maybe because they're resentful or envious of other people's success.
Yeah.
So they you know, if you can't have it, no, if I can't have it, you can't have it.
Kind of crabs dragging each other down when they get pulled up.
You've just ruined it, so thank you. No, it basically comes from crabs in a bucket when one of them is trying to escape and it's climbing on the others and they could get out, the other crabs will see it and will drag it back down. So all of them ensure their own demise. Yeah,
I didn't know that was a thing.
I don't know why they do it, if they can see what their crab is doing and it's like, no, get back in here.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
At the same time, they're fairly happy in the water, aren't they?
I don't think they realise the sheer danger they're in, admittedly, yeah. Maybe they do, but...
Oh, dear.
Interesting.
But yeah, I thought that was quite interesting.
That is interesting. Did that start in Britain, or do you know where the origin was?
I don't know, mate.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so that's crab mentality for you.
Crab mentality.
If I can't have it, you can't have it.
Yeah.
You can't escape the bucket if I'm not escaping the bucket.
Yeah, fair enough.
Oh, that's what keeps human society down.
Yeah.
I wonder if that works. I mean, in a bucket, you're of course trying to escape, but I've been crabbing in Cornwall in the UK, down the coast.
I've also crabbed in Cornwall.
And you can... Have you?
Yeah.
I've caught crabs in Cornwall. Loo.
Same.
Oh, my gosh!
Yeah. Yeah, probably the same pier.
Was that when you were going out?
No.
Oh.
No, this is...
that's with my family.
Yeah,
with my family. It's a very, very important holiday in my history of my family.
Okay.
You haven't been crabbing in Loo?
You haven't?
Cornwall.
No, but I got crabs.
Really, you haven't?
Oh, that's loud.
You got crabs there, very good. Yeah. No, yeah, it's quite a crabbing hotspot. Anyway, my point was, when you pull the crabs up, when you're trying to capture them, and that's, of course, crabs don't want to be captured, they have the same similar thing, don't they? They're grabbing onto each other.
It's like
a line of them when you pull them up.
Yeah. That's really dumb.
Which is the opposite of trying to escape. You're like, it's not trying to pull people down.
They're hanging on.
Yeah.
Is that a bit like in Finding Nemo, where they're like, swim down, except in reality, the boat would win and you just get more fish.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's kind of like, did you do the same thing where you hold like a chunk of bait and then like you hold it in the water and then like a group of them just grab hold of it and then you...
That sounds incredibly dangerous. No, I use proper crabbing equipment. He's like a line,
you bring it back up and there's like 10 of them.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, yeah.
You throw them back afterwards.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Yeah, you can't eat those crabs.
No.
What?
Yeah,
you can't.
Just on the pier, kind of going out.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't want to, or you're not allowed.
They're
to?
Not edible, I don't think. These are small little things. Yeah.
Oh, now I'm wondering if they're not stupid, but they're just enjoying the ride, because they know they won't get eaten. So it's like,
we've done this before. We're fine.
Yeah. And actually, on the way up, they're eating some of the bait. So
that's true.
Good point. That's true. If anything, it's a feed.
We're the idiots.
So this week I learned. That's not even working. This week I learned about National Book Day in the Netherlands.
Oh, yeah.
So, in the Netherlands, on their National Book Day, if you travel by train, you don't have to buy a ticket. You just show a book that you're reading on National Book Day, and you get free travel for that day. And it's been going on since the 1930s.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, cool. That's all there is to the fact.
You just literally just show a book.
You show a book that you've been reading.
It doesn't have to be a specific reading. Book.
No. So make sure you take a book with you. You have a book in your bag at all times, and it happens to be that day. You can get free travel.
Wow.
That's really nice.
Yeah. None of the train services over here would ever do that.
No, that wouldn't happen.
No, but where's your ticket? Is your ticket inside that book?
Yeah.
No.
Now, best you'd be like, bring a book and you can claim a 10% discount by going online and using this special code.
Yes. Your train is half an hour late.
Yeah. And we'll refund you in the next 6 months.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's quite a nice thing.
It is a really nice thing to do. I think it's encouraging.
Little kids might read on the train.
They might do.
For free travel.
Not that many kids take the train, really, do they? Yeah. More of a bus.
Teenagers often.
Anyway, on to the news. Do you have any weird or interesting news stories from this week?
Yeah, it's not from this week. It's actually from a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
But I got a piece of news about Mark Zuckerberg. He hit headlines again. But this was funny because it was for something not creepy. Well, kind of creepy, but like just genuinely a weird thing.
Okay.
So it wasn't anything scary. But it was... so there's a new book... that was released in published in February, called Facebook, The Inside Story.
It's a good headline.
By a journalist from Wired magazine. And in it, included an anecdote about Mark Zuckerberg. And apparently, Zuckerberg has body blow-drying sessions every time he makes a public appearance. Because he sweats so profusely when he's in a nervous situation that he's paranoid about it. And so he has his entire body, particularly his armpits, blow-dried before public appearance.
Just dried on stale sweat.
I guess so.
Lovely. Well, lovely.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Obviously, Facebook have been denying this. Yeah. Their publicists have been going into overtime saying, I doubt this is true.
Definitely true. So,
that actually can't be true, since Mark Zuckerberg got, when he was in the army, a military, he can't sweat anymore. So, yeah.
There are a few kind of things. Yeah. There are a few creepy things, then, aren't there?
Yeah.
I mean, weird things. The book should have been called You've Been Poked.
Oh, that would be very clever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But I doubt he would want that being released either. No.
You know when we were talking last week about billionaires and should they exist, and detachment from society and how the kind of power that they have now. Imagine being so powerful you have personal people to just blow dry you because you're too sweaty.
An entourage following them around. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
It's amazing that someone who's supposedly so so rich, but so powerful, influential, still gets so nervous. It's like people do get nervous, and you know people get nervous. When I've done speaking, you do naturally get nervous. You go to an interview, you get nervous or whatever.
Yeah.
But someone who's so successful and so many people have a lot of respect for in the industry as well, in terms of his accomplishments. Mm. I think a lot of people do.
Being able to
do what he's done. Still gets really nervous.
But then he's not particularly respected in the public eye, is he? Lots of people.
There are lots of criticism. There's lots of criticism.
I mean, the whole movie, The Social Network, paints him in a very bad light.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's well known, isn't he? He's well known in the face of Facebook.
No, I'm agreeing with you. You would hope that he would be comfortable in his own skin, but I also am not surprised he's got massive image issues. Because he's not a particularly impressive specimen of a person. And
it's just a personal attack, isn't it?
And he got mocked for the robot responses to that Senate hearing. And he has been sweating on stage in the past.
Yeah.
He's been accused of being a robot. He's all kinds of things.
Yeah. So have you.
So have I.
Yeah. You want to talk.
Have my sweat glands installed. So, that's all there.
Working.
Good. Very nice.
Well done.
Nice. There you go.
Very good.
That was the whole thing with Facebook and social network, right? There's the idea that he made Facebook to socially engineer society because he wasn't very good at speaking to people in real life, so he could turn that whole exchange into an online thing. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. He wasn't known as a particularly social. I don't know what
creature. I know what you mean. But I just think that over time. He's done so many of these, right?
Yeah,
so many talks in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
To be fair, if he didn't want to do talks in front of thousands of people, he could step back and take a more of a advisory or a sort of standoffish role if he wanted to, and get other people to do these talks and meetings and etc. But he doesn't. He still is the head of it, the front of it, the face of it.
You're right. But do you remember that time Michael Bay did that presentation? That was It was for a Transformers movie product placement, and he went on stage at this big press event to launch their new car, I think it was, or something like that. And it was featured in the Transformers movie. And he went on stage, and he just did that really weird kind of... He just stopped right after being introduced, stopped talking, and was like, I'm sorry, and then just walked off. Do you remember?
Oh, no.
It was really awkward. It's because the auto cue broke, and he just couldn't...
He was ready for the auto cue, and
he just couldn't do it, and he just walked off the stage. Yeah. And that was weird, because you think, he's massively...
imagine that being horrible.
Yeah, really embarrassing. But at the same time, he's this director, right, of big Hollywood blockbusters.
Yeah,
he's massively successful, and he's used to getting his own way. And, he's infamous for, being a bit shouty director and kind of ordering people around successfully on the film set. But, that's what he does. And you think someone like that would be able to deal with an auto-cue breaking.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, he's in his element directing and being on set, whereas this was slightly out of his zone. And then when a spanner went in the works, he just couldn't deal with it.
Same with Elon Musk, right? You imagine him as this kind of this crazy billionaire making spaceships and electric cars and stuff. Have you ever listened to the guy speak? Through no fault of his own, he's not a public speaker, and he's gotten much better recently. But his old ones are, very. He's kind of struggling on to. To give these keynote speeches.
Is it the cannabis? Does it help?
It's a tough thing to do, though. Speaking in front of people is a tough thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a lot of time to get competent and confident doing it,
yeah,
for sure.
Yes, I personally hate it. I'm not very... Just doing, simple readings during a regular thing, you know, where the reading is all pre-prepared. It's a passage from a book everybody's familiar with, and everyone's there just to hear the reading, and, you know, I get nervous, don't like doing it.
Yeah, fair enough.
What's your weird news?
So my weird news story that I wanted to discuss this week is about these eagles that were being tracked by Russian scientists. So they had these SMS text transmitters on them, and they were migrating and flew into Iran and Pakistan, and ended up taking out massive data roaming charges.
Really?
Because they flew across the country. Yeah, so much so. So much so that the scientists had to take out a loan and ask for help on social media to pay off the phone bill.
That's ridiculous.
Do we know how much the phone bill was? Or just a lot of money?
That's
madness.
That's madness.
Protects as well, SMS.
Yeah, so I think it's basically this network will send out SMS texts
constantly
showing locations of where the eagles are every so often. There's an eagle called Min, which accumulated SMS messages to send during the summer in Kazakhstan, but it was out of range of the mobile network. So it unexpectedly flew straight to Iran, where it sent a huge backlog of messages. These SMS transmitters would send the coordinates of where the birds were, and that's how they can...
Suddenly sent all the way through. Very expensive.
Yeah.
And the price per SMS in Kazakhstan was about 15 rubles, or 18p.
Yes.
But each SMS from Iran cost 49 rubles. And
50p.
Min used up the entire tracking budget meant for all of the eagles.
That one greedy eagle.
Exactly. I mean, it must be still quite a high budget, but it was to send the coordinates constantly, right?
Yeah.
So 50p every 2 seconds.
Yeah, that's quite...
Exactly. Yeah. So their crowdfunding appeal, it doesn't actually say how much the bill that ended up being that they racked up, but they managed to pay off more than £1,200.
Oh, wow.
Part of their bill. Yeah. I don't know how much the actual bill was in the end.
Yeah. We should pretend that some eagles have gone rogue.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
And the...
it's a joke, by the way.
We won't do that. We won't do that.
In fairness, the crowdfunding was called Top Up the Eagles Mobile. So
Nice. Creative, clever, funny.
Catchy.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's good.
Yes, that was my fun news story. A bunch of eagles racked up a huge phone bill in Iran and Pakistan.
I thought they'd be able to arrange a scientific test where the roaming charges were covered. I guess they're just them. Yeah.
Well, that's it.
I think that was it. They were expecting them to stay in Kazakhstan and they moved across the border.
So my weird news story this week actually includes Donald Trump. Oh. And Donald Trump taking a jab at the Oscar winner, Parasite.
Oh, I saw this.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you leave nothing alone?
So he was, he basically said, how bad were the Academy Awards this year? He was at a rally in Colorado Springs, with the crowd booing. And he said, the winner is a movie from South Korea. What the hell was that all about? We got enough problems with South Korea with trade. And on top of it, they give them the best movie of the year.
He understands how these things work, right? How awards work. It's not about...
Where's this coming from? What is that meant to do apart from...
He's just a granddad. He's just an old racist granddad. That's his problem. Lots of things he says, if you took him out of the context and put him in an armchair with a white vest and a beer in his hand, shouting at the TV, you'd be like, yeah.
Is that because some of the people he's trying to appeal to are maybe people who would latch onto that and go, yeah. The Oscars, it's hosted in America. It should be an American film.
Hmm.
Yeah.
South Korean film subtitles.
That's why they've got this best foreign picture Oscar. To keep the foreigners out.
Yeah, it just seems bizarre. And something that maybe opens up a wider conversation about, how much should politicians get involved in the arts and commenting on the arts when they don't know anything about it? It just irked me a little bit. Yeah. I was like, what are you saying? You clearly haven't seen the film because it's not something you'd watch because you wouldn't want to watch it. Apparently, I haven't seen it either. It's meant to be very good. won the Oscar. Just chill out, man.
Yeah.
Chill out for just a second. Chill out and don't make everything about you.
And that's the other thing, though, is that he's the kind of person who pretends the Oscars don't matter and who pretends that they don't affect him and he's not interested.
Yeah.
And yet goes and complains about them.
It's because it's popular. Yeah. He'll comment on anything that drums up support for... It's typical populism, right? Mm.
Yeah, and he's at his worst in the rallies, isn't he? He always says his most deliberately outrageous things in the rallies because he's just whipping up the crowd and saying, that he gets into a certain level and then says the next outrageous thing. Because when you're in the moment like that, like comedians do it too, they'll push the boundaries really far in the moment because they know they've got the crowd on their side and because they think, oh, I'll keep going with this.
Which makes more sense because they're saying something which hopefully is funny or it's ironically funny. Mm,
yes.
Whereas this is just being an asshole. That's it. There's nothing else to it.
Yeah. I think the thing is, like, he often times these kind of things when something else is going on that's far more serious.
Well, the trade. Yeah.
He doesn't want people to focus on. So, like, was this around the time when his Roger Stone was getting sentenced?
That's true,
And he was trying to lay the foundations for possibly giving him a pardon or something. I mean,
deflection
people. Yeah. Why is he talking about Parasite? You know, it's an insane comment. Like, yeah. Why would
it doesn't relate? It doesn't really relate to anything.
Yeah,
but it drums up that feeling amongst his supporters at the rally, and it deflects. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Anyway, just thought.
Now you mentioned it. It is clever because it gets his supporters arguing with the people who he really doesn't like, or he knows they don't like, which is the online social justice warriors and the liberal elites.
Yeah,
who like us. And the media will pick up on that kind of comment and be like, what's he talking about? And then I guess his supporters like, oh, they're attacking my president again.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, everybody...
Oh, it's completely calculated.
Yeah, it's very clever.
It's also just being a dick.
Very clever.
It
is indeed. Right.
Yeah.
So what is our question of the week? So this week's question is, why shouldn't we clone humans?
Mm. Why shouldn't we, Martin?
So we could have phrased it as, why should we clone humans? Or is there an issue with cloning humans? We thought, why shouldn't we? Because... No, but it's the shoe on the other foot. It's always people say cloning is unethical or we shouldn't be doing it, but why?
It's one of those things you naturally jump to. You naturally think, yeah, no, that's a bit weird, isn't
it? Bad idea, yeah.
I've seen enough sci-fi, I've seen enough dystopias to know that that's never going to end well.
Yeah.
But the question is, why shouldn't we?
It's a very good question. I mean, traditionally in fiction, that's
clones
always...
Clones killing you and replacing you, what?
clones do that, right? And I guess it's all tied into this weird... I wonder if it's a very modern thing, this whole, like, individualism is the dominant philosophy in the West these days. So there can only be one you.
Mm.
And if there's any more than one of you...
You cut the head off.
It's bad. Yeah, you cut the head off, exactly. Yeah. And that's the metaphor. Like, if there's another clone, often in the dystopian ones, like you say, the clone will kill you and take your place and usurp you. They can't be... I mean, and twins throughout the world for centuries have laughed and said, you don't know what we're dealing with.
Well, in a lot of... Yeah, well, that's right. In a lot of the dystopian films and in TV shows, they clone a whole human being that's exactly identical to you. And then, of course, to make an interesting story, the clone either kills you or it does something bad, or the clone or yourself is framed for a crime. So there's always this negative notion, which I think, obviously, these are outcomes that could happen in an alternative timeline of our future. If you cloned another Robin and then that particular Robin then went on and killed someone, has the same DNA, the same profile, the same fingerprints, same everything as you, that's obviously not a good situation to be in. But does it always have to be that case? What are some positive aspects of cloning?
Well, I mean, you've got different types of cloning as well. Yeah. So, you know, the one that people naturally jump to is this hypothetical form of cloning, you know, where you clone someone in a vat, you know, and grow them at super quick speeds,
right.
And then you take them out and it's like an identical copy, a carbon copy of...
like a 3D printed.
Right.
A 3D printed clone. Yeah. And that obviously doesn't exist and may exist at some point in the future, but...
Possible. Right now, it doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
Well, we don't think it exists.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, you've got... So there's that one. Then there's therapeutic cloning. Now, this is really the one that is... the controversial issue that does exist and could well be something very valuable, something that we do in the future. And it's basically cloning human embryos for the purpose of extracting stem cells from them.
Right.
Without ever implanting the embryos in a womb. So therapeutic cloning enables the cultivation of stem cells that are genetically identical to a patient. So then these can be used for anything in that patient.
Create replica organs for any of that. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So everything's compatible. You don't have to worry about blood type and stuff like that.
You can. It could be stimulated to differentiate into any of the more than 200 cell types in the human body without risk of rejection from the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
So... this could be used to treat a variety of conditions from Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, diabetes, strokes, and spinal cord injuries. So, I mean, it's an incredibly useful. But then you've got the controversy of when does life begin, and this kind of that whole abortion question, I guess, as well.
With the using embryos.
Are these embryos?
If you're using human embryos.
The point is that these embryos are just at single celled level, right? Is that correct? Like the very first stage.
I imagine they'll be very early on.
So they have been just fertilized. So some people say life begins at fertilization, and others say it begins when they form into a human being.
So there's therapeutic human cloning, and then of course there's reproductive human cloning. Now this isn't how we imagine, a carbon copy, 3D printed clone. However, it is using the cells of one other individual to then, fertilize a cell and make an identical copy of that person.
Right.
But, as a child, that will then grow up and have the identical traits of that person.
So in that method, is it that they take a cell from your body, convert it into an egg, essentially, and then fertilize it?
It's to clone an embryo
and
then plant that into a real uterus or artificial
one. Surely they'd be using stem cells again.
I think so. So it'd be using stem cells from a person,
But instead of just using stem cells to grow an organ, you're letting the embryo grow into a fully human, but it has to be born by a mother and birthed as conventionally.
At the moment, we can't grow babies in a vat.
Yeah, because they do that with animals all the time, don't they? That's how they clone animals, isn't it? Like Dolly the sheep was done that way.
First original one.
Yeah.
And they do it with dogs, and we were discussing just before this podcast, actually, they do it with ponies. There's a company that clones horses for polo players.
It doesn't sound that much within the spirit of the game, does it really?
Yeah, it doesn't really. But I guess it guarantees performance consistency, maybe.
True.
What's the fastest horse ever or something? What's the one that was stolen? Shergar. They're all Shergar.
They're all like that. It would be fascinating, though, because I don't know. I hope someone's actually conducted some studies into this, but if the polo industry is cloning horses left, right and centre, you've got a bunch of horses.
Race horses would be,
But you think you could study them to see if they do develop differently or if they are exactly the same.
Yes. Yeah.
Because assume, like in the case of this polo player who has six horses and they're all cloned from one horse, so they're all identical and they're all given the same training and diet and all that stuff because he's looking after them.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably that's a great case study for finding out if clones would actually develop separately.
So you get a consistency of horse.
Yeah, you find out that this one is a bit asthmatic.
Yeah,
or something, you know.
Yeah.
So just a bit more information on how clones are made through reproductive cloning, just to get the issue to bed. So this was how Dolly was made through a relatively new process called SCNT, and this entails removal of the entire nucleus from a body cell.
Right.
So just a regular cell.
Okay. So yeah.
Take out the nucleus, and then you remove. And you get an egg cell and then remove that own nucleus and its all DNA properties and then implant the nucleus from the body cell into the egg cell. Yeah. And then that, when it's fertilized, grows to, can...
Incredible that's even possible.
The problem is, as with Dolly, how many failed attempts did they have before it?
Oh, I had a bunch.
So
and she didn't live very long, did she?
No, so... The ethics of it, and
I mean, that's obviously the reason not to, right? We do not know. We do not know exactly what the outcome would be. Plus, from a lot of people's point of view, the old cliche question of are we playing God? Should we actually be doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, when you actually dig down a little bit deeper into that question, it's hard to find as much substance.
Yeah.
In terms of why exactly you shouldn't be doing it, but
In terms of the playing God thing, that doesn't bother me too much. I think my main issue is, of all the scientific breakthroughs...
That's never stopped me.
In terms of the scientific breakthroughs that we're making and that we need to make as a race, as a species, I feel like finding another way to rapidly increase the population of the Earth is not the priority. we've got other problems, right? So maybe that's it. Maybe there's just a kind of a lack of motivation for it. Big companies and... individuals with money just aren't interested in finding ways to create more people.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are other more exciting things to be doing. Although, having said that, this article that we were discussing just beforehand, written by Professor Henry Greeley, published in February 2020, so just a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, very recently. He's at Stanford University. And he does ask the question, why aren't billionaires left, right and centre investing in cloning?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all investing in these ways to live longer, cryonics, treatments, prosthetics and or actual grown human limbs, again, from stem cells to replace their own limbs if they break down and stuff like that. Some of them are looking into ways to save their memories, you know, download or upload their
brains. That's very Black Mirror, that is, isn't it?
Yeah, but none of them, he says, seem to be looking into cloning.
It's because it's not there. It's not actually them.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the brain isn't theirs. It's not a... It doesn't just follow on. It's not a linear after they die.
Right.
It's a new person, right?
I think the only type of cloning they'd be interested in is the avatar type of cloning, you know, where they've got a human, a younger version of themselves in a vat and they can just flick a switch and switch into that body.
Would you do it? If with the current method, where you could clone yourself and your mother or somebody you knew would be willing to bear the child and give birth again, would you clone yourself?
So weird, wouldn't it? It would be quite strange.
So it's just a baby version of me.
Well, yeah, I mean, given the current technology, you wouldn't.
I was a baby. He was a little shit. I don't want another one of me. Why would I do that to the world?
Imagine how strange that would be. Yeah. To have like a little you growing up. So it gets to. So you'd be like, oh, that's what I was like when I was.
Yeah. And also, similar. I already know his potential. I'm investing all my time and energy into that.
But what if he exceeds?
Definitely not.
What if the clone of you exceed anything you ever achieved?
Well, I could have been.
That would just annoy me even more.
And then you'd become the murderer.
Point is, there's no reason how that could end up well for me.
So, for your point of view, it just doesn't seem worth it.
Exactly, yeah.
As opposed to there being any kind of moral obligation, moral adversity to it.
Yeah. Mm. I guess that is a genuine argument against human cloning, though. The idea of, what if they grow up and become more successful than me? Is there a kind of I don't know. How do you cope with that? That's so unnatural and so well, I mean, it's not unnatural. It's it is unnatural. but it's I don't know, yeah.
I have a question for you, Martin.
Yeah.
So you're a family man.
Yes.
If you don't mind me asking.
Go for it, yeah.
Your child. Do you what kind of sense of ownership do you have for your child? No, I mean, genuinely, do you have a sense of possession for your child?
Yes. Well, how does this link in?
Well, I'm thinking, if you were to clone yourself.
Yeah.
In this case,
would your current technology, like I had possession
it's
over
essentially
myself.
A child, but it is yourself.
Yeah.
Would you feel the same way about a clone of you as you feel about your child? Or would you feel different about that clone?
Almost impossible to tell without being in that situation, right?
Right.
Surely. Emotionally, it'd be difficult to know exactly how you'd react. Would it, as in, it would be my own child?
Well, essentially, because it will be made from you, strange. And you'd be raising it. Let's say you're raising it.
Of course, I imagine you'd feel ownership, wouldn't you?
If you weren't raising it? What if it was a clone of you? Definitely like your genes, just like your child is your genes, but someone else was raising it.
It's such an odd hypothetical question.
I was just wondering.
Yeah. I don't know. I do not know how I feel about that. I think I'd be weirded out, but not necessarily because of any particular rational reason for it. It would just be unusual because you wouldn't be seeing your own life through a child, through someone else. But at the same time, it would be very, very familiar because, of course, this goes back to the whole nature versus nurture thing. The nature side would be there. The nurture side, of course, from the environment would be slightly different. But of course, it would still be you, just in a different life scenario. So I don't know. I think it would be strange. Back to your point about billionaires and why they aren't cloning themselves.
Right. Yeah.
Really, why aren't they? Maybe they are.
Maybe they are.
Just maybe they are.
Just top secret.
Yeah. Maybe we just don't know about it. Maybe they're funding this kind of research.
Mm.
There's surely some benefit of trying to keep their legacy, not just by their children, but having a clone of themselves.
So we could be seeing that first generation, like that classic sci-fi twist, where the patriarch in their 90s dies and the children are all like, yeah, we're going to inherit. And into the boardroom walks 30-year-old version of their dad.
Exactly.
Or,
you've got a film right there.
Yeah. You look at someone like...
Trademark it, copyright.
you look at some of these very eccentric billionaires.
Yeah.
Surely there's some funding going on for this. Surely.
You think there would be. Yeah.
You've got money to burn. Just a couple of million in making...
making plenty of stuff. I hate to stereotype, but definitely I feel like Russia and China, there's definitely... There'd be a few stuff going on, right?
I think it's going to be like, yeah, Putin's putting plans in place, isn't he? He's going to be president for eternity.
That's a good point.
Well, what's his new title in Russia?
He's got a new title.
He was floating a new idea, maybe a little bit of Supreme Emperor. Yeah. I don't know. No, genuinely, it was something like Supreme Leader of Russia.
Or, madness.
Just take a leaf out of King Jong Il's book.
From him, it would be very much... Well, I can't. I trust my mother and father who made me. Their genes were perfect. I can't trust anyone else, so I need it to be me again.
Wow. Yeah, I can believe that. I can believe that.
Yeah, an issue of trust.
And in China, we know that in 2018, there was that scientist who successfully edited the genes of two children, I think, and maybe later a third one, and they were carried through term and given birth. And they were they clones as well? Or they just edited genes, I can't remember.
No, I think they were just they had their genes edited. I don't think they were clones. But and they altered them. I think it was to take away some disease that they were going to inherit.
Which is good. You think that's a good thing, right?
It is good, but it is good. And it's, like, there's nothing wrong with that. But then you think about the...
Potential
of it, it comes to the whole eugenics argument of
physically editing genes
to perfect the human race, but then what does perfect really mean?
I think with something like that, there has to be very, very distinct boundaries about what is and what isn't allowed and available to people, right? Yeah. Because there's a very, very, very definite defined line between making sure that someone doesn't carry on a particular disease, especially some of the diseases that can be debilitating in later life that you don't know about necessarily when you're younger if you have it checked, or just desired characteristics. There's very much a difference there.
I want my baby to be 6 foot five, have a chiseled jawline,
blue eyes, blonde hair.
Exactly.
God. Yeah. So cloning, why definitively? Do you think there's any reason why it shouldn't be done?
So going back to the arguments for why it could be a positive thing with reproductive cloning, back when, what's the fertility treatment called? IVF?
Is it IVF? Yes. Yeah.
Back when that came out, people were saying the same things, like, you know, you're playing God.
Yeah.
If someone wasn't, like, meant to have a child, they're not meant to have a child.
Yeah.
Whereas now that's kind of seen as normal and accepted.
That's massively accepted, isn't it? Lots of people have changed massively.
Have babies born because of IVF. And this could just be seen as another form of fertility treatment. People that can't have children by, you know, most traditional means might be have more success if they can clone themselves.
And clone themselves, but also edit the genes of that embryo so that it's not exactly the same as them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there is an issue. There could be an issue with in the future about diversity and about it being very much a rich person's something available that's only available to the rich. They can replicate their own what they think are their own
strength,
good property, good properties, and then people that don't have the capabilities and the resources to do this fall behind. Almost with legions of people that are actually very homogenized, and then other people that it kind of there's that divide between what people see as good characteristics in inverted commas.
That's another sci-fi film right
What people don't see as the same desired characteristics. There could be a widening of golf, especially if it became cheap. Imagine how many clones a billionaire could have. Have a clone army of mini Elon Musks. If he's just like, screw it, I'm just gonna have 10,000 clones of myself. Imagine that.
That's all the people going to Mars.
just Elon Musk.
The whole planet populated by Elon Musk.
When do you say stop? Yep. Just stop cloning yourself, Elon.
Well, you raised a good point. I hadn't thought about it. But obviously, for the sake of the species, evolution favours diversity.
Exactly.
And mutations and things. If you have, you're going to really shrink the gene pool if you've got loads of clones going around.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
If you've got a pandemic on the rise, you know, some people will naturally be more resistant to it or more even immune to it than others. You know, if Elon Musk isn't immune to whatever pandemic, then the whole population of Elon Musk's might get wiped out. So
Exactly. Or they survive and then you're left with a very small gene pool, as you say.
Well, just to kind of round off this discussion, I thought we'd like to know that as of 2018, 70 countries have banned human cloning.
Okay.
Which means there's...
All forms of human cloning, therapeutic and reproductive.
Yeah, all. But that does mean there's about 150 countries where cloning isn't illegal. So
yes, yes, or they don't have the capability, so there's no reason to make it illegal.
Yeah, that's true.
They've got more important issues to worry about. Yeah, human cloning is like
we'll do it later. Let's just chill. Yeah.
That means it's possible if someone wants to try.
Okay. Yeah.
Set up that secret lab in the jungle and get cloning.
Yeah, also scientists from any of these countries, like Canada or Australia. Yeah, if you want to get it done, just go somewhere where it's not illegal, right?
Yep, it's illegal in the European Union.
Ooh. Ooh, this opens up opportunities, and in the UK.
But will we get around to writing about
it? We're allowed therapeutic cloning in the UK.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But we're not allowed full cloning yet.
Yeah.
After Brexit, we could do anything.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Right. Do you guys fancy a quiz?
Oh, yes, please.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
So, as always, 10 questions and a bonus question. Let me hear your buzzers, Robin.
I'll stop it there before it goes too far.
It goes on for a while. Yeah. Alex, what do you got?
Well, this kind of summarizes how I feel about Robin, who has won every single quiz so far.
I know, it's annoying.
Using one of the most iconic moments of EastEnders in the last decade.
You need slapping down.
Nice. You need slapping down.
I mean, I think we lose a little bit without the visuals there. His face is an absolute...
You need slapping down. Masterpiece.
You need slapping down.
Damn, intense eye stare. Fantastic.
Well, Alex slap me down?
Let's find out.
Quite possibly.
Let's find out. Question one.
Win or lose.
Hopefully not physically, unless he loses. Question number one. What is the most abundant insect on Earth? Alex.
You need slapping down.
Mosquitoes?
No.
Oh, no.
Insect.
Look at that.
I was going
to say. That face is amazing. Oh.
Is it the ant?
It is the ant.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say nil. The ant. Yeah. Come on.
It is the ant. Game 1-0. Come ahead in the game.
He
come
needs
on.
Slapping down.
He's slapping down. Right, this one is closest wins. Question 2. How many Englands could you fit in the USA?
Oh, come on.
Not the UK. How many Englands?
Oh, just Englands. Oh, that's a lot,
that's
isn't
that? That's
tough. You go first.
That's a bad
mess. Closest wins. Okay, 51.
Okay, one for each state.
Yeah, basically. I know it's more than that, but I'm going to stick with that.
Oh, do you remember that? I don't know. I'm going to say, I think probably less than that. I'll say 49.
Ooh, 49. Unfortunately, your dickism hasn't paid off. It's 76.
Right. 76? Wow.
76. Wow.
That is huge. Because I know there's several states where it can fit England twice, but I didn't realise,
you think it'd be balanced out maybe by some of those northeastern states, right?
Because they're so tiny.
Yeah. That was my thinking, Rhode Island.
That's mad.
76. Wow. Yeah, mad. Yeah. 2-0. Come on, Alex. Oof.
Come on.
Question 3. I'll put inverted commas, what are baby bees called?
Oh, what are baby bees
like
called?
Baby bees, like a group of baby bees, yeah.
Oh, a group of, is it?
Yeah, it's like,
Oh, I have no idea. It's not a hive, because that's the whole thing. So it would be,
You need slapping down!
Is it a bumble?
Nice guess, but it's not.
Nice.
No.
A buzz?
No.
Oh.
One more guess each?
Are we along the way?
Is there a clue, maybe?
Okay. Let's have a think. I don't think I don't want to give it away, but it's a term used in geography.
That what?
It's a geography term, or to do with it's a term used when describing volcanoes.
Oh. An eruption of bees?
No.
Oh, that's what I was going to go for. Oh. So, I'm still clueless. When describing volcanoes...
Yeah. It's used in relation to volcanoes.
a dormant?
No, I'm going to give you the answer. A larva.
I was thinking bee larva.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I thought it was... That was my first instinct, like, because baby flies and things.
Larva.
Oh, well.
There we go. Question number four, 2-0 to Robin. What is the smallest atom?
The smallest atom?
I thought they were all the same size. I'm really bad at science.
As in the mass of the atom.
Like on the periodic table. Is that the kind of answer you're looking for?
It might be the kind of answer I'm looking for.
Okay. You're slapping
down. Helium.
No.
If you get it now on the back of the line, I'm going to be so pissed off.
Hydrogen.
It's hydrogen.
Are you fucking... It was one of the two. Wasn't
yeah. Sorry.
Hydrogen.
I feel bad about that.
3-0 to Robin. Come on, Alex. You've got time.
It's only question five.
Who was the first female Nobel Prize winner?
This could be a QI moment, but Marie Curie?
It is Marie Curie.
Yeah. Wasn't a new film come out about her with Rosamund Pike as Marie Curie this year? It's called Marie Curie.
Good name. Apt.
Probably. I don't know.
It's called Noble Mary. I don't know that. No, it should be. Let's just forget the score. Let's carry on.
No. What is it? It's 5-0, is it?
No.
It's 4-0.
As we go on to question six.
Yes, so I can still win. Yeah, still win this.
You've got five chances.
What's annoying is I've known these answers as well. I've known pretty much all of them.
Yeah. The States one was
tough. States. Okay. States tough.
One I didn't know.
You deserve and, that
one. And, good job.
That was lucky.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed.
Yeah. Question six. What year was the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan?
Was it me?
Yeah, it was definitely you.
Okay, 1981.
It was 1981.
Yeah, I knew that. I knew that as well.
Any
advance on the month?
Oh, that was August.
No.
October.
Definitely.
It was March. Question seven. What was found washed up off the coast of County Cork, Ireland this week? Well, actually, it was last week, wasn't it? After Storm Dennis.
Go ahead.
Washed up on shore.
I have no idea. A whale.
It wasn't a whale.
Oh.
That's a good guess there.
Something more conventional.
More conventional?
Yeah.
Than a
fish. A beach. I found sand on water.
Is it a trampoline? It's always trampolines.
A boat.
It was a boat, but it was called a ghost ship because it had been abandoned for. It actually travelled down from the Bermuda Triangle.
Which
is kind of
the Mary Celeste.
It wasn't, unfortunately, it wasn't the Mary Celeste. Yep.
I'm not sure I deserve that because it was specifically a ghost ship.
Well, yeah, they called it a ghost ship,
yeah.
But it was basically a boat that had trouble around the Bermuda Triangle, and the crew had been rescued. Then the ship had travelled.
What kind of trouble do you know? Was it magnetic?
Good question. Yes, let's go yes.
Is it 6-0 now?
It is.
Maybe.
What question is that?
8.
Oh, goodness gracious.
It's just slipped away from you. You just lost your confidence.
I don't know what's going on. I think it's since we've been keeping score. It's just the extra pressure.
I've also been giving you arsenic every day, so...
Oh, that makes sense.
Slipping into your cheery voice.
Question 8.
Yeah.
When was the first text message sent?
Oh, that's a very good question.
The first ever text message.
Is it closest wins or?
Yeah, why not? I've got an exact date, so yeah.
1995.
Okay.
I think it was before that. I think 1992.
Okay.
1992.
Was it actually?
Yeah. December 3rd, 92.
Well done.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
That's quite early.
That's worth 8 points.
Does that mean they had mobile phones with a little screen on that you could do?
I mean, they must have had prototypes.
I imagine the tech, it might not have been on a modern phone. It might have been on a device, might it?
I suppose.
So just a text SMS text message as opposed to
formatted. Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, question number 9. 7-1.
No, 6-1.
It's 6-1, Martin.
6-1.
Thank you very much.
Sorry, Alex. Question 9. Which of these isn't a rugby-related term?
Oh.
Dick Michaels, Webb Ellis, Gary Owen.
What's the first one you said?
Dick Michaels, Webb Ellis, Gary Owen.
I'm going to go for Gary Owen.
Okay.
Webb Ellis.
Those are the two that are. Dick Michaels isn't. So Dick Michaels doesn't mean anything, but Webb Ellis is the Webb Ellis Trophy is the Rugby World Cup, and Webb Ellis was the, I believe, is the person who first picked up a rugby ball at rugby school and started the game. And
so
Gary Owen.
To blame.
And Gary Owen is
for all my words.
Is when you see a lot in the modern game where they kick the ball up in the air and run after it, chase it, and try and catch it. It was adopted at the Gary Owen Rugby Club, first adopted there.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Was Dick Michaels a thing, or did you just?
No, it's made up.
You made up. Nice. Yeah. See, I'm embarrassed now because that Webb Ellis is like the core of rugby. You definitely know that.
It's the name. That's fine then.
All right then.
If you're winning by this much, it's fine.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I feel bad, actually. I feel bad.
You should feel bad.
I should feel bad.
You should. No, that's okay. Let's carry on.
We still got another question and a bonus.
It's good.
Would you like a cookie?
You know I'm allergic, so that's fine. Okay, let's do this. Let's get over and done.
Question 10.
You can take this win.
What does the acronym SWAT stand for?
Ooh.
SWAT.
Special Weapons and Training?
No.
Darn it.
That was a good guess. If that, was that a guess?
Oh, yeah.
Your buzzers are like ha 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 ha, and you need to slap it down. They're perfect for the situation that's happened.
I don't know what the W is, or I don't know what any of them are.
Okay.
Special something and police.
That's SWAT,
isn't it? That's what we're
SWAT. SWAT. Not yeah. SWAT.
Never mind, let's move on.
No, okay. Special weapons is the first bit. You got that right.
Ooh, nice.
And something. And you said training, it's not training.
Special weapons and...
Tactics. Sorry, I should let you go. Try that one.
No, it's fine,
Well done. Thank you. Want the bonus question? Or?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, the bonus question is how many songs are there on Spotify?
Oh my!
How many
word.
Songs?
Yeah, closest wins. Whoa. I mean, it's a bonus question, right? You need slapping
down. 10 billion.
10 billion songs.
Yeah.
More than one per person on Earth.
I'm much more modestly going to say 100 million.
It's 30 million.
Oh wow. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Just do a lot of songs.
Really
yeah.
over.
You say 10
million.
Songs. Yeah, 10 billion.
If I remember back in the day when, actually, it still happens on Spotify, you look up a song and you get like 30 different versions of the same song just from different album compilations or something.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. Is that 30 million unique?
I just Googled it, mate.
Yeah. Okay, fine.
I thought, how many songs are there on Spotify? And thought I'd make quite a good bonus question.
I'll be honest, I'm still reeling. So,
doesn't care.
Didn't really think about it.
Thank you.
So what's that? You've got 6 out of 6 now, Robin.
Yeah, right. Apparently, yes.
What's that?
You know what it is. Move on.
I think the leaderboard might be on screen.
It
right
probably is on screen now. But anyway, thank you very much.
That was a good quiz.
Thank you very much for.
It was a good quiz. Well done. Well done.
And
thank you for that, Martin.
And if you want some more of this animosity, then please join us over on Patreon, where we'll be going straight after this.
Yeah.
And we'll see you there. So have a good week.
See you next time.
Bye bye.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.